Nothing could be more effective in expressing human remorse in the face of God's impending wrath and judgment than the ancient custom of imposing ashes on the forehead. The argument is out of place that Lutherans may not be ready for this Ash Wednesday custom. Contemporary practices of worship encourage something creative every Sunday. Of course, imposing ashes is hardly new, but it is old and biblical. And what is biblical does not come from human imagination, but from the mind of God. Ashes are the pictorial representation of the fundamental doctrine that all things, that the only things that have any value come from God. What is not disintegrated by moth and rust is destined to the ash heap of the burning judgment of God's wrath. Unbelievers converted to Christ by the Holy Gospel are heaven's true treasures. Jesus said that pursuing earthly wealth is absolutely nothing. He also said that pursuing the heavenly treasures and the earthly wealth at the same time is impossible. You cannot serve God and mammon. Even preachers can forsake the gospel and walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. Job, faced with the death of his children and the destruction of his possessions, and his own physical collapse, sat among the ashes. When the prophets of God found out that the people did not believe the message of salvation, they poured ashes on their heads. They not only lived among people with unclean lips, but they themselves were unclean. The men of God saw impending judgment on the horizons of their history, and they despaired of their own holiness. Before they were dead, they began dying. Believing that God had deserted them, they prepared themselves for their own burials. The personal tragedy and the failure of their own ministries brought them face to face with the God who passes judgment on all people and condemns our highest morality as ethically deficient. Ashes unceremoniously smeared on foreheads and running down over our finest suits and dresses places every believer in the middle of the story of Genesis chapter 3. Now listen to the sentence of the Judge Eternal. Thou art dust, and to dust you will return. Lent must be made so vivid in what we preach and in our church ceremonies and decorations that we never entertain the thought that the world has anything to offer, or that we have any moral worth, or that we have accomplished anything within ourselves. Consider how far we have fallen. We were taken from the ground in a glorious creation in the image of God, and that image of God was firmly printed upon our foreheads. Angels recognized that created like God, ours was the higher honor. Now our heads are seared with the mark of the rebellious Cain, and ingloriously we return to the ground. Ours is the perfidy. Ours the faithlessness, ours the treachery, ours the infidelity. In the midst of life, we are in death, and from this refrain, there is no escape. Lent forces us to come to terms with our own mortality. Man has no advantage over the beasts. For all is vanity, all go to one place. All are from the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Lent is not simply the description of the Christian life. It is the description of the common human experience life, as everybody knows it really is. contrary to all our experiences, human, are the things of heaven, which are known only by faith in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Christians are trapped in the melancholy of their souls, facing on one hand the deterioration of everything we know, but on the other hand, trusting in the hope of glory which God gave us in the revelation of Jesus Christ by raising him from the dead. In this insurmountable contradiction between sin and grace, between death and life, between a condemnation to nothingness and the promise of sitting at God's right hand with Jesus, the contradiction between heaven and hell, a contradiction between the holy God and an immoral humanity, all shades of moral gray disappear. No longer are we allowed the luxury of moral ignorance. Some things are right and other things are wrong, and we have no other choice but to live within these moral dimensions. But we do not look forward to Moses coming down from Sinai with the tablets of stone, but rather we are bought with the precious blood of Christ. We have been ransomed not by gold or silver, which is either stolen by thieves or ruined by rust, but we have been ransomed by a payment which God has set aside even before the world was created. We are now single-minded and determined because we belong to God through Christ our Lord. Like runners, we dare not be weighed down with the excessive baggage of human existence. Intoxicating temptations cannot blind us to the hope which God has placed before us in Jesus Christ, who reveals himself to the church in and through the Blessed Sacrament. Through this sacrament, we share in divine holiness. It is called a holy communion, because in that communion we live in God, and a holy God lives in us. You shall be holy because I am holy. Those words are not threat. They are not command, but they are promise and hope realized in the flesh of the God-man Jesus Christ, through whom now we can approach God by saying, Our Father who art in heaven. If God condemns the unbelieving world in its ignorance for its immorality, we who believe and know the truth which is in Christ Jesus will face even a more severe condemnation from the Father, who judges each one impartially according to his deeds. His judgments and prohibitions against hurting others, committing adultery, cheating, stealing, lying, and defaming still stand. And those who cover their sins with the cloak of religion follow in the steps of Cain and Judas into the condemnation to which God has irrevocably sentenced them. We flee from the passions of our former ignorance, not to a sense of our own self-worth and moral confidence, which provides hope for absolutely no one, but we flee to the wounds of Christ. And smeared by the blood of Christ, we are found innocent by God. God's salvation is manifested now in the end of times in the cross, but it finds its foundation within God himself. Christ was destined before the foundation of the world. Salvation is more than what God does now, but it emerges out of the inner being of the Father's love for his Son. Ashes smeared on the forehead places us among the sinners. Ashes smeared on the forehead in the form of a cross signals to the world and to Satan that we were ransomed from our futile ways, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb, without spot or blemish. In the midst of life, we are in death. Where shall we flee but to thee, O Lord? Because in death, We are in the midst of life.